Fourth Ward City Councilwoman Laura Dwyer Schletke wants to be your next mayor. Do I have that right, Laura?
You do. You do.
One of, I guess, four announced candidates running for mayor. So does this mean, Laura, that you will be out in Ward 4?
No. If I do not win, I still will be on council.
Okay.
My term is from 2019 to 23.
Okay.
Seems like a long way out there, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But
I take
time is flying.
I take them one day at a time, so.
Yep. The older we get, the more we do that, right?
So talk about your decision, Laura. Why do you want to run for mayor?
Well, I'm really good at connecting the dots and looking at the bigger picture and how each event that we do is going to affect all people, such as if we implement an ordinance or development, we agreed to allow a development to happen or a policy is made, how is that going to affect not just the people who it was designed for, but what burden is it going to put on others, including our city staff? So connecting those dots and making things happen is kind of what I'm really good at doing. And I'd like to do that, you know, at the head of the state, so to speak, for the city of Jackson.
So don't we do that now? Don't we look, are we forward thinking?
Well, I think we are in certain parts, and I think that there's other areas that we need to not be so siloed and look at how everything is going to happen. I mean, I'll give you a good example. Before COVID hit, I had a neighborhood meeting in the Fourth Ward, and we talked about the lead lines,
yeah.
The lead service lines that are going to have to be replaced. And we had Jonathan Green was just appointed, I think, the temporary city manager. And I invited the head person or the main person at Eagle to come down and talk to us about what the real requirements were. And just by inviting that one person to the meeting, the city saved $5 million, which in the long run saves all our citizens because that's money that wasn't spent. We found out that we didn't need to dig at each house to find out which line was going to happen. We found out that we could just make a blanket assumption that all our lead lines were, or all our lines were lead, and that saved $5 million.
Well,
on
thank
the
cost you. Thank
and
you.
The lead line. Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. But it's just those little, and I'm not afraid to make those phone calls to get the right person at the table. Will mm-hmm. I always be able to do that? Maybe not, but I'm sure going to try, and I'm going to work hard at doing that. We've got to make sure that we're fiscally conservative in our community. We've been hit hard with COVID. We're going to lose well over $1 million in income tax. And is that just this year? I don't think so. I think it's going to affect us long term because I think businesses are going to step back and say, do we need that big building that we have? Or even if we keep the big building that we have and we need the space because of safety for what's as a result or the collateral damage of COVID, then do we need all the same people? Can they work at home? So businesses are stepping back and looking at their business model and will we have the same amount of people paying income taxes coming into our community?
Right.
And that's our largest source of revenue. And if we lose that or we lose a portion of that, we have to step back and readjust what we do and what we can offer to our citizens. And we want to make sure we have money to be able to provide caring, competent, qualified police and fire departments. We want to make sure we can fix our infrastructure and maintain it. We want to make sure the taxpayers and the citizens live in a good, well-run city. And we can't do that without money. Everything starts financially, and then trickles down on what we can do.
And there's not.
And
a
then
lot,
we're gonna
not a lot. The not a lot the city can do when somebody's making a big business type decision.
True. We could offer incentives. However, we have to be responsible for those decisions that we make. So a good example is the city, and I wasn't on council when this happened, but the city gave land to the 200, and was that the right decision? Well, I think it was, because mm-hmm. that cost of doing that and prepping that property was, I believe it was slightly less than $500,000, and the 200 invested well over that. And the amount of income tax, I believe they're completely full. So the amount of income tax that will be generated and property taxes eventually that will be generated from that will help the city coffers, right? But then we also need to be responsible and let our citizens know that as a result of that asset that was given to that corporation, what are we going to get back? And we need to be held accountable and report that information so everyone understands that as a result of doing this, this is what we are benefiting. We as a community are benefiting from.
Laura, how would you be different or run things differently than the current administration?
Well, I would be focused on economic development. I think right now administration is a little bit focused on policy, which is fine, and putting in place. They're currently, Derek's kind of currently focused on making sure, you know, he's looking at ordinances and policy. I would focus, and I don't disagree with what he's doing, but I would turn and look more into economic development. I think we need to look at East Michigan Avenue and get a corridor study done on East Michigan Avenue and a corridor study done on the Martin Luther King corridor now that that has been put in place by this administration and develop those areas so that we can see the growth. We've got a major employer of the hospital, and you know, to get onto that corridor, it does, you know, there's great potential. In fact, there's a new MedExpress that has their ground opening coming up in the next couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And that's a good positive step forward on the east side. And we need to take more of those steps and focus on that. Get the Amtrak station operation. Make that into a multimodal facility, which has been talked about since 2005, but let's make it happen now. And the MLK corridor, that was a great thing to do that Derek and Arlene started, and let's rev that up. And I'm sure that, you know, that just happened, so that we have to make, you know, but let's keep that wheel turning so the south side can see growth. It's going to take a lot of talking to individuals and planning. You know, we've got $32 million possible in federal relief funds coming. We've got to step back and say, how are we going to spend that? We've got to be really thoughtful about how we use that money. And that's going to require a lot of planning, and we've got to be deliberate about how we use it.
It sounds like, you know, from an outsider's perspective here, that we have four pretty unique individuals. So people are going to certainly have a choice mm-hmm. when they.
And that's a good thing.
Yeah. When they go to the polls, would you buy into that?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing to have a choice. I will say that I think being a mayor is going to take someone who has experience, who has seen how it is a council works, which I have had that. I was on council from 2011 to 2015. I think my ward is very happy with what I have done and how I've communicated with them. And then I got reelected in 2019. And then I think it takes someone with a business background. I mean, you have to, the city is, you know, in its own form is a business. yeah. right? We're not there to make a profit, but we are there to budget and use the funds that we have available to us wisely, including grant money. You know, grant money is still taxpayer dollars usually. So, but then it takes a business background to understand that. And I guess I think I'm in a unique situation because of the business that I'm in, being in real estate and rental properties. And then we had a small gallery downtown. I've been in other people's shoes, and we can't afford to lose businesses, and we've got to be able to attract them, and we have to understand what we have to do to attract those businesses. And with a business background, it's easier to understand that need.
Yeah, you really stole my last question. How important is the experience? Obviously, to you, it's extremely important.
Yeah, it's very important. And you can't be afraid to pick up the phone and call somebody and, you know, to make the Amtrak situation happen. You got to deal with MDOT. You got to deal with Amtrak people. You've got different people. You have to deal with Jackson Area Transportation Authority. You got different people you have to bring to the table. And you've got to have a history to be able to have that conversation and know how to pull it together.
Laura Dwyer Schlecky. Okay, Laura, you can officially campaign now.
I was waiting for this call. Am I the last one for you to talk to?
No, you are not.
Oh, okay. Okay, because I would have talked to you last week, but I was really
I know
sick,
you were under the weather.
Yeah, so I appreciate your follow-up and getting with me, and glad to know I'm not the last.
You sound good. Thank you.
All right, thanks. Bye.
Laura Dwyer Schlecky, one of the four candidates running for mayor.